turn, the first scripture we'll be going to is the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Started out, the Greek word ergon was translated in the New Testament. Deeds, doings, labors, or works, and in the working translation, with translated activities. And it was used over 170 times. Mm. And I was shocked of the different subjects, you know, some of the likely ones and unlikely ones that it touched on. But I wanted to do this and narrow the focus down on just twofold. One, on the accomplished work and works of Jesus Christ and how he was working with God. And God was working with him. And then the works that we as believers, born again ones, some of the things we shouldn't not do. So in Genesis, there was a scripture given of redemption about God speaks of putting enmity between the serpent and the woman and between the serpent's seed and the seed of the woman. Also that the seed of the woman was going to crush the serpent's head and that the serpent would bruise his heel. And we know this happened after Eve got tricked and Adam disobeyed, and then the fall of man was called the fall of man. How man, on that day that he disobeyed, dying, thou shalt die. He died spiritually, okay? Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, there was another prophecy, talks of what the Messiah or the Christ would do by preaching good tidings to the meek, by binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to the captives and opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it goes on, but as you're familiar, that's one in Luke that is used, but that's kind of where the focus I want to stay on. And in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, mentions that the Lord God would pour out of his spirit upon all flesh, that their sons and their daughters shall prophesy, that their old men shall dream dreams and their young men shall see visions, also upon the servants and on the handmaids. In those days he will pour out of his spirit. So in John chapter 4, verse 31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, and this is talking about Jesus' disciples, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, his doings, his deeds or activities. Okay, not just to do it, but to finish it. Okay, John chapter 5. This is going to be an easy part. We're going to go kind of chronologically here, see some of these things. And believe me, this is just a few. Chapter 5, verse 16, it says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And the horrible thing he did was heal a man. Had infirmity for 38 years, I think, you know, so that's terrible. On the wrong day. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Wasn't making himself God. He was equal with God. Their culture and customs in those times. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Okay, God is going to show Jesus Christ things that greater than these, that they would marvel. In the same chapter, verse 30, goes on to say, again, second time, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Verse 35, talking about John the Baptist. He said, he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. See, not only was there a witness of John, that who he was, that he was the Lamb of God, that the works were to be a witness of who he was. And also, what other witness was there? There was a couple other ones. The scriptures spoke of what the Christ would do. And he was doing it. So, you know, there was, and then God verbally said, you know, this is my beloved son, audibly, where certain people heard it. So there was a great many witnesses of them. Also, I'd like to point out in that first group of verses I read in 16 to 20, it says, I can do nothing of himself but which he seeth the Father do. And then the other one about how he hears. They're both similar in seeing could be seeing something physically or seeing the point of understanding. You know how sometimes when you talk, you say, oh, I see what you're saying. I mean, do you actually see the words? You see what they're, you know, the understanding of it is. And the same with the hearing. It could be the, you know, you could actually hear something or hear to the point of understanding. Like, oh yeah, I hear that, you know, when someone says that. So that was, I thought that was very interesting in those groups. Okay, in John chapter 6, verse 27. And this was after Jesus Christ, this record after Jesus Christ had fed a multitude with a couple loaves of bread and some fishes. And then during the night, he walked across the water. And the people woke up and said, hey, where is he? You know, and they sought him. Not because of what he was teaching, but because they were fed. They wanted another free meal. And I bet it was good. It just, you know, anything that God's involved with, I'm sure all that was very good. However, in verse 27 of chapter 6, it says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And that word sealed is to confirm or authenticate, of authenticity. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, do 100 Hail Marys. Fall down on your knees and beg for whatever. No, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent, referring to himself, Jesus Christ. That was the work of God. And now, even at that point, they were to consider who he was and believe regarding him, that very, quite possibly, and we know now, probably, he was the Christ. He had done things, and they were to consider, you know, believe regarding him. Okay, and now, you know, looking back, compare that to Romans 10:9, right? What do we believe regarding him? Of course, at that point, he had not accomplished the things that he had, that we can get what we get. So, and that's the works of God, to believe regarding him. John chapter 9, verse 1. And we're not going to only look at works, but related subject matter to the accomplishing what Jesus Christ accomplished works. Verse 1 of chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And it's not that God stricken him with blindness, but he did, if you kept reading, he did heal this man. And this was prophecy that a man who was born blind would be healed by the Savior, by the Christ. And then in verse 5, Well, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay, and want to know more about the light and the darkness thing? Rube did a great teaching about a month ago on that, which is probably on the website, yes? That was really a wonderful thing, which would help in that particular area. But Jesus Christ, God, you know, God doesn't afflict. He wants people blessed. We heard about, you know, that all men to be saved. So, and that was, Jesus Christ was doing those works while it is day. Okay, John chapter 10, verse 10. See a comparison here between Jesus Christ and the thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. What a stark comparison. Okay, and that the what this thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy is not, he could really care less about us. He's after the word, because we're already at this point, ever since, you know, Adam fell, dead in trespasses and sin. So he's after the word, and then, you know, and then, which would involve us. Okay, and keep your finger here, because we're going back to this area. Go to the 1 John in the back, 1 John chapter 3. Not only did Jesus Christ come that they might have life, but that they might have it more abundantly. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, he that committeth or practice, should better translated there, he that practice sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works, the deeds, the doings, activities of the devil. You might be wondering, the word destroy, they're not the same in John 10:10 and that one. The one here is to loosen, and we'll get into that a little later. The destroying in John 10:10 was to like obliterate, you know, he wants that out of the way. But Jesus Christ came to loosen us from the works of the devil, because right now we know, you know, we are still in our, we don't have all those new birth realities, you know, but we do, we are translated from, you know, the exercise power of darkness when we believe and stand on those words. So they are still active. We are now citizens of heaven. We don't, but it's still going on. So they're not, haven't been totally destroyed or removed yet. So that's a wonderful thing. Okay, in verses 37 of the same chapter, 37 and 38, it says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Okay, and then in John chapter 17, verse 4, this was a prayer before Jesus Christ went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane. And yeah, that too. So it was a prayer. This, he knew what was about to happen. And in verse 4, he makes a declaration here. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. See, God gave him the work to finish the work. And here he's making a declaration. Although we know at this time he did not go through the sufferings and beatings, but one of the very last recordings that he did verbally, that he spoke, is recorded, was when he was on the tree and said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Okay? So, what does that mean for us? Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But in verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Okay, so we know this is 40 days, 10 days prior to the day of Pentecost. He had finished it, and he was taken up, right? Keep your finger here, because we're coming right back. But go to John chapter 14, which is, if Jesus Christ had not said this, it would be amazing. John chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 10. It says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That is an absolute astounding verse. And if I may make a confession, I had grossly misunderstood this verse for many years, and I had some weird thoughts about it. I had thought, it was like, oh, you know, to see that, it was almost like, to me, it's like, how could you do it any better than that, you know, than what Jesus Christ was doing? You know, did I, you know, have to walk on water, but maybe just a little bit above the water, not really on water, but above the water, you know? Or, you know, he fed multitudes, you know, with a couple loaves and fishes. It's like, or do I have to feed like a stadium of people, you know, with like two soda crackers and a carrot stick or something? It's like, how do you do better than that? But again, my misunderstanding, God backs up his word, not our misunderstandings. The works that he came to do was, as we know now, was the accomplishing of our redemption and many other things. So we weren't supposed to do that, but just do some of the greater works than that. And that greater, that word greater is either it's better in quality, more in number, or when talking about age, it's greater in age. And we know it wasn't talking about age from the context. So I respectfully put forth that it's both. And we shall see that. Go back to Acts chapter 2. So that was just remarkable that Jesus Christ would, you know, the works that I do and greater works. So this is maybe some of the things that he came to do. Okay, and it's not a limited amount of things too, which I thought then later too. It's not. It's a smorgasbord of plethora of a whole host of things that now we know, looking back on some of our rights, privileges, and abilities that we have. Chapter 2 of Acts, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Was that ever done before?
No.
No. Possibly. A greater work, possibly. And it was done by several people. And then an explanation by Peter. We're going to start in 14 to verse 18. Okay, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, we're going to stop there. It continues on. So this was maybe some of the finishing of works that God gave Jesus Christ to do, pouring out. And if we were to keep reading, about how many does it say believed and got born again that day? About 3,000. So there is maybe more in number. Okay? And then, if we were to keep reading in Acts 3, a man who's had an infirmity for quite a long time, lame, what, from his mother's womb? Yeah. Gets healed doing the works that Jesus Christ did. Healing. Jesus Christ healed. So did these apostles. And then later on, as it talks in, later on, how many get born after that? About 5,000 men, it said. So it's really, you know, greater works, more in number. Okay? So we're available to do those works that he did and greater works. Something that is very helpful, a couple verses. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 8, it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift or offering of God. Not of works, deeds, doings, activities, lest any man should boast. Jesus Christ did that work of redemption, and that is one thing we cannot do, and we don't need to do because it's already done. We just need to say thank you and you know, accept it and, you know, agree with what Jesus Christ said and what God said and do those things that we can do as, you know, as God directs. Okay, in verse, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, this book was written to, right, Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. What I want to say is that it doesn't mention anything about the law. Some people might say, oh, well, what if you do the works of the law? Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Keep your finger here because we're coming right back. See, there's nothing man could do. No more could man make himself spiritually alive after being dead than a dead man can make himself physically alive. It's just not available. It can't be done. So we had to have a substitute, someone who could take our place and to accomplish things that needed to get accomplished. Jesus Christ came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds, the works, the doings of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verses 27 and 28. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Not by the law of works? No. Nay, but by the law of believing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by believing without the deeds, the works, or the doings, or labors of the law. And let me just say, if God gave Moses the law to have a prescribed way of your people are going to stand justified before God, he said, this is going to how you're going to do it. And no one was able to do it. Yearly, the high priest had to go into the holiest of holies one time a year, and he did atonement for him and all the people. And until Jesus Christ came, as soon as he walked out that curtain, you had to know that in a year he'd be right back there. Okay, so, and if anything was going to get done, God said, this is the way you're going to do it. Okay, some people did stand up. As well as perfect as could be, but it could only go so far. So, and other people have prescribed laws of how to stand righteous before God, And, you know, that doesn't hold any water with God. You know, God says, you know, believe regarding Jesus Christ. These are the works of God. You believe regarding him. Back in Ephesians, I'm going to read 8, 9, and 10 from the Working Translation because it seems to explain a little better. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. By grace you have certainly been delivered through believing, and this salvation is not from yourselves, it is the offering of God. It is not of our works that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus on the basis of good works that God previously prepared so that we may walk in them. We were created in Christ Jesus on the basis of good works. I think it has ordained, right? In the King James? Yeah, ordained. But it could be translated prepared. God, Jesus Christ did that, so prepared so that we may walk in the works that we are to do. Okay? We can't, there's no way we can add or take away anything from what Jesus Christ did, his accomplished works. But yes, we could heal like he healed because God directed him and he healed. You know, God can direct us and we have, you know, we can heal. Okay, we could do things. And that's not only that, we have been, you know, as we said, we're a family of God. Was that ever mentioned before? A family of God. No, that's never mentioned. How about as Wesley, the sharing he did last week about things to be thankful for? Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Was that ever mentioned before? Nope. Before Christ did what he did. How about earlier in this chapter, it says we were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we were made alive, raised, and seated. Was that ever mentioned or even dared to be thought of at that time? No, Jesus Christ accomplished those, and some of these might be some of the greater works that we could walk in. Okay, how about later on in this same chapter, it talks about, you know, we have that one new man, you know, that was never talked about before. Chapter 3, you know, that the Gentiles should be heirs and fellow heirs and joint partakers of the one body. Was that ever mentioned before and available till Jesus Christ accomplished those things? No. You know, Christ in us, you know, the hope of glory, completely complete in him. It's just, and those are just a few. Was any of these available before Christ accomplished what he did and went to the Father? No. So these could very well be some of the works and greater works that we're to do. 1 Corinthians 12, we even did it. Speaking in tongues, interpretations of tongues. There wasn't a body, so God didn't provide some of those manifestations that were to, what? Edify the body. Okay? I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. And verse 17 it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come is a better way to read it. And all those new things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to God. And now what do we have? We have Christ in us, and we've been given the word of reconciliation. And the ministry of reconciliation. These are some of the things we can do. So maybe some of those greater works. Okay, verse 20. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. All right? That was never talked about or even dared to mention. They knew they weren't righteous because they had that Day of Atonement thing going on. But now we are as righteous as Christ is. Okay, and in chapter 6, verse 1, It says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. This is talking about Paul and company were workers together. They were doing deeds, activities, laborers together. And here they are, they're telling these people, those Corinthians, what they, you know, what they have and what they can do. Okay? As a body, they were working together. That's what it's talking about. They were workers together. And they needed a lot of instructing and helping along the way, these Corinthians. As sometimes I do. As sometimes we all do. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter, back to Ephesians chapter 4. So there is a boatload, truckload, whatever you want to call it, there's a ton of works and greater works that God would direct us to do, that we should and could do. I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, but unto every one of us is giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, was that ever available before? How could Christ hadn't given himself, so it couldn't have been given. So that's something that was not available before. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, and he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men, now that he ascended, what is it? First, that he also descended unto the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is also the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work, the deeds, the doings of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, all those things were not available before Christ. Even the gift ministries, all that's, it's just like Jesus Christ opened up the floodgates, and now there is a ton of stuff that he made available that we can do. Look at that, the body. What an incredible thing. How blessed would God be to have a body. And you know, Jesus Christ is the head. Now we're placed in there. It's very important. Everybody is so important to God. And he places in the body as it pleases him. And I endeavor not to handicap the body. And that's what we call it. You know, when your arm don't work, a leg or whatever, you call it handicap. We do not want to handicap the body of Christ. So we have a function, and God asked, you know, and then we have a place, and these gift ministries, which were not available before, therefore the perfecting, the maturing, the building up of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then it goes on to, we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How great is that? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And here's something that we should not work, have works in. Verse 11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works, deeds, doings, activities of darkness, but of a greater importance, but rather reprove them. Okay, and we don't want to confuse that, not confuse having, we don't want to fellowship, we don't want to take part in those unfruitful works of darkness, but we're in a crooked and perverse nation, but we could shine as lights as we, you know, as long as Christ was in the world, he was a light. It's Christ in us, and as we hold on to that, we shine as lights as well. And we go and we prove, you know, how are you going to bring people who are dead in trespass and sin, how are you going to bring the light of the gospel, the good news? You're going to have some sort of connection, you know, interaction with them, but you don't hang out with them, and they go off to steal or do stuff. See ya. You shouldn't do that, you know, but I'm not hanging around for that. I know I had to tell my friends when I got serious with the word. It's like I told them, I said, I'm not coming here anymore. I can't do this. And I just cut it loose. And, you know, you got to make decisions. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that the work part of that workman is that word ergon. Okay, we're to work, study study the word, and we show ourselves approved unto God, so that we don't be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's so important. And the reason why it's important, we'll go to chapter 3, verse 16 of the same book, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's why we need to take care of that word. And so we could do those things that God would have us to do. And that word, perfect and furnished, are basically the same word. So you can read it perfect, truly perfected, or furnished, truly furnished, or the Working Translation has it, equipped, fully equipped. God has given us all that we need. And we are to, you know, work at the word, because it helps us so long. It tells us what we can, and we saw what we shouldn't do. It's just so valuable to our lives. And then as we're doing that, maybe God will instruct us to do more, you know, other stuff. But this is a lifetime of a wonderful work that we could do, and we should endeavor to do that. Let's go to Titus, another page or two to the right. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Not only should we do it, we should be desirous of doing it. And that peculiar, you know, it's not odd or queer. It's not the 20th century understanding on that. It talks about, Working Translation has it as special. And it's more of a purchasing. It's bought with a price. It's costly. It's to God. It's very valuable. That's why we're special. Because Jesus Christ did his work. We're paid for it. And that we should be people that are zealous to do those good works that we should do. Jesus Christ accomplished that unbelievable work that sits by itself, and we say thank you, and we do what God asks us to do, what God says that we should do. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, nearing the end, a couple more verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Oh, let's start in 3. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. We can rest assured that God's going to do. We know we don't, Christ hasn't come back. We're not, we don't have our new bodies yet. Adversary is not completely dealt with yet. But we can rest assured that he will. He will complete it. If he has given us the greater, I think the lesser would not be a problem for him, I'm thinking. And we know, because we have proof of that. We could speak in tongues, right? We saw miracles, we saw what Jesus Christ did, and we saw what, you know, happened to us. And I'm sure some of us, we could probably have many stories of, you know, things that had God's fingerprints all over it that only God, you know, only logical thing would be like, that's God, that's got to be God. Yeah. So we should have no doubt that God will, who has begun good work in you, we'll perform it, or complete it, or finish it. Okay? Let's go to 27, 28 of the same book, same chapter. 27. Only let your conversation, only live as a citizen is kind of a way that could be read. You know, we are citizens of heaven. Only let your citizenship be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Just think, we can rest assured that God's going to finish the work, but as we speak in tongues, just think, that's our hope. But you know what that means for the devil and his friends? It's his end is certain. God has said, you know, it's done. We're going to heaven, and he is going to be dealt with at the times that he says. And that's, so as we do those things that God do, we're like rubbing it in the adversary's face. Right? Because in 1 Corinthians 2, it says that the adversary known about Jesus Christ, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So as we rejoice together and be like-minded and, you know, just be mindful that when we do those things, we speak the gospel, we speak in tongues, we do those things that, yeah, it's our hope, but it's the devil's end. It's certain. You know, time is running out on him. You know, if we say, you know, he's coming or could come any day now, just think. Same for us, but what that means for the devil, it's his end, you know. That is his demise right there. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, I'm going to close with the first usage. This is where that word ergon, works, deeds, doings, labors, or activities, where this was first used. And in chapter, verse 14 of chapter 5, it says, ye are of light, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when we do that, we glorify God because of the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. We glorify God and what his plan, Jesus Christ finished it. And it just brings glory to God when we do those works and greater works that Jesus Christ said, or some of the good works. And there was about 150 other usages of that word. And it was really quite telling. So there is a, so as we do those things, we know we just bring glory to God. And we know that we have a hope, and God's going to complete it. And we know that the adversary, his end is, you know, his end is certainly going to be ended. His works are definitely going to be ended. That's why it's loosened. It's not quite completed yet, as it said in 1 John 3:8. But then there will be a time where he is definitely dealt with, and his work will end. So even if we never, even if I never walk on water, I don't fear the multitude, you know, with a few loaves or whatever. I know just by speaking in tongues and functioning in this body and doing those things, I know I may be doing, you know, the works and some of the greater works that, like Jesus Christ said, we could do and should do. So I'm going to pray.